and welcome to the VTC Podcast, Voices of Recovery. The VTC, or Veterans Treatment Court, is a treatment-based alternative to the traditional justice system. In lieu of going to prison, where we know that nothing truly changes for a veteran, the VTC aims to address the underlying issues that led veterans to interacting with the legal system, including mental health, trauma, and addiction. Upon completion of our two-year program, a veteran's charges are dismissed. Well, we're excited to have with us today our esteemed district attorney, Todd Williams. Todd, how you doing?
I'm glad to be here. Good snowy afternoon to you, Kevin.
I know. We haven't had a snow all year, so this is great. So talk to us, Todd. Take us back and walk us through your journey to becoming the district attorney and what motivated you to pursue that.
So I was a public defender for about 13 years. And, I became inspired to run for district attorney when I saw and noticed certain things, up until about 2010, I was in the Buncombe County Public Defender's Office, and then I moved on to another public defender's office in another district, and then came back as a capital defender in Buncombe County. So I was doing mostly murder cases. But I noticed when I was a public defender here that, I had a client who was charged with shoplifting, basically, to put gas in his car. $13 pair of shoes. He returned the shoes and said, this is a returned item as opposed to a shoplifted item, which elevated the shoplifting to false pretense. And the client had more than three prior offenses and convictions. So he's a habitual felon. And for $13, because the client, which, I'm not trying to justify thievery for sure, but there is, prosecutorial discretion. The client got charged with habitual felon and ended up doing 14 years in prison over $13 shoplifting, basically. And I saw that's sort of an exemplary case. I saw it numerous other times with drugs. While I was a public defender here in Buncombe County, I was a treatment court team member on Judge Payne's drug treatment court. Okay. And it was run by the drug treatment court, started in 2000. It was one of the first treatment courts, I think, in the state of North Carolina by Al Williams. And I got to give my predecessor, Ron Moore, some props for, creating a treatment court. Although I disagreed with some other things that the office was doing. And there was a big case that involved a murder, homicide, in around about 2000, 2001, where several individuals pled guilty. And the district attorney's office didn't disclose DNA evidence that exonerated them, exculpated them. And the North Carolina Innocence Inquiry Commission came to Asheville, had a hearing, and found that they were actually innocent. And, that was pretty much at that point, it was time to run for district attorney in 2014. And I was elected, did very well in the primary. And, I've been serving here as Buncombe County DA since January 1st, 2015. And I can't believe now, I'm working on my 10th year.
Wow. That's amazing.
Yeah.
So that brought you to the district attorney office. And so you had already been on a treatment team. You had this experience, but talk to us about starting the Veterans Treatment Court.
Yeah. And I hope that introduction wasn't long-winded, but I do want people to know that it's not the ordinary, district attorney candidate that has that kind of a background. And in 2014, that certainly was, a new thing, not only in North Carolina, but in the United States at that juncture. There weren't many public defenders that were elected to the DA's office.
Which to me is an important, that's an important experience, understanding and defending your constituents and really seeing, okay, what are the consequences for the behavior? Back to the story you told.
Yeah. And serving on the treatment court.
Right.
So I really focused in 2014 on, you know, veterans treatment courts were ascendant, and it was really starting to catch wind, I think, maybe 2012, 13. And we obviously had a VA here in Buncombe County, and it was an easy sell for me, in that a big deficiency, you know, when you're trying to treat people in the court system is it's always the carrot and stick. We'll hang a ton of time over your head to get you invested in behavior modification. And you know, back then there wasn't a whole lot of, there wasn't as much, if you will, knowledge about harm reduction.
Right.
Right. And relapse. And the, you know, it's like, so we're going to hang a pile of time. And if you test, you know, if you test positive, you know, gas up the bus, you're going to prison, you know?
Right.
So, you know, since I was on drug treatment court and then coming forward to 2014, there was a lot more intelligence about that, a lot more education about those issues. And we had a VA here in Buncombe County. We have fantastic VA, and you know, we have veterans certainly here. And what do they have? They have PTSD, they have psychological issues, combat related, you know, issues that we can treat holistically. They have injuries that lead to opioid dependencies. It could be physical plus, right?
Right.
Psychological that lead to these drug, opioid, what have you dependencies. We could send them down there for physical therapy together with, you know, substance use treatment, right?
Exactly.
And it's like, why not? That's the big gap in, you know, if we could do this, if everybody could go to the VA and we could handle so many of these cases through the VA, we would DA's office.
Right.
But we just got Medicaid expansion and that'll help in the long run. But the VA is a resource that absolutely, I feel like the prosecutor has an obligation to use a tool like that to ensure behavior change, especially with this population of folks who've served our country.
So that's huge. Seeing right there, we have this amazing resource, the best VA in the nation. The reason I moved to Asheville from Washington, D.C. was because of this VA. And we attract a lot of veterans. We have amazing resources here. We have the Veterans Restoration Quarters. We have Transformation Village, ABCCM. And
we have a great substance, you know, peer support community.
Peer support community is amazing. Best in the U.S. So many resources. I love that you said, hey, what is the gap? How can we address this? So you move forward and you are saying, let's start a veterans court.
And I want to say you can never overuse the word holistic in Asheville.
I like it. We're going holistic, folks. Here in Asheville, holistic healing. Well, I'm a social worker.
Repeat Todd. Your question. I'm sorry.
I'm a social worker, so that really just warms my heart. But it's true. Holistic treatment, holistic healing, because it's really that which keeps them out of the courtroom.
Yeah.
And our hope is truly they never have to be in front of you or any of your ADAs again. That's the change that we want to see. We want to see public safety. We also, a side effect would be a sense of purpose, reunited with their family, kind of all these amazing things. But at its core, Veterans Treatment Court is about public safety.
Yeah, and you know, I still encounter folks from drug treatment court, which I left in 2008, you know, and they come up and they say, you know, Todd, thank you so much for getting me into drug treatment court. You know, you really changed my life. And that's been 15 years. I mean, drug treatment court, even though I didn't mean to cast aspersions on, you know, it's not like it was medieval back then in terms of, you know, they didn't know about harm reduction or whatever. It definitely, you know, created behavior change for for people. So again, casting forward to 2014, I centered the creation of Veterans Treatment Court as part of my campaign and really ran on that. And, you know, I think it was a debate that I had with my predecessor where it was at least my first public statement that I will create a Veterans Treatment Court. And that became, you know, part of the you know, the advertising, the mailing, and my all my public, you know, my elevator speech and all that. I will create a veteran treatment court. And, we got a lot of momentum going for it.
I love that. I wouldn't be here without you. So thank you, Todd. So another important person in the journey was Dr. Howard. Talk to us about Dr. Howard and kind of your work together.
Well, Dr. Howard and I got to know him in juvenile court, actually 10 years before Veterans Treatment Court was created. And, you know, if you know Dr. Howard, a.k.a. Big E, you know that he's a real networker and he's a team builder. And when you know Dr. Howard, you immediately get folded into, you know, his network. And so the Veterans Treatment Court started, and, you know, we had an inaugural coordinator, and it, for whatever reason, the arrangement didn't really work out, and we were having trouble getting vets in. And I don't know what happened with the first coordinator, but I was able to hook, you know, Big E up with Judge Pope, and I think that it was a good fit, and he created the successful program. And at some point, you know, it was a natural, linkage to you. You know, you were his. He was your mentor, I guess, and mentee.
He's still my mentor. And I remember in 2015, beginning of 2016, I think a public defender, Mary, reached out and said, hey.
Mary Bradford.
Yep, Mary Bradford. She said, hey, Todd started a veterans treatment court, and they're looking for volunteer veterans in the community to serve as a mentor. I knew nothing about Veterans Treatment Court. I was working behavioral health in the community. So I came in and I see the courtroom. It's clearing out after a session. And there's Dr. Howard, or Big E, right? This towering giant of a man. And instantly, like you said, he takes me under his fold, puts me under his wing, and taught me everything I know. So I became a mentor, the mentor coordinator. And it was a truly amazing, because Dr. Howard, along with you and the others on the team, built the ship, right? So you create the infrastructure, you make this the machinery of the Veterans Court. And I was able to do my grad school placement, my first year's internship under Dr. Howard, because he has a social work background. And after my first year, he said, hey, I'm going to head on over to another state to take on the entire state's treatment court team. And so that's when I stepped up, began Veterans Court here in Buncombe County. But I always joke that it was like he gave me the wheel. I just had to keep my hands on the wheel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, Dr. Howard is a one-man multidisciplinary team, is the way I like to refer to Dr. Howard, in that he has an MSW and a Doctor of Education. Now, that being said, we are extremely fortunate to have you, and I can't imagine a better Veterans Treatment Court coordinator than Kevin Rumley. Well, I mean, you also are a very successful team builder, and you've lived so many of the experiences that the veterans are going through, both, you know, combat-related and recovery-related, that the connection is just really noteworthy and needs to be centered in our conversation.
Well, I appreciate that, Todd. I will say, when I came in, having experience, lived experience as a person in the justice system, I was taken aback by the prosecutor, the role of the prosecutor being non-adversarial, being a supportive dynamic. So talk to us a little bit about how your role as a prosecutor differs on a treatment team versus just the regular justice system, where they may be a number and you don't get the time to really know this human being behind the charges.
Yeah. So while I really publicly advocated for the creation of Veterans Treatment Court, in full disclosure, I wasn't a part of Veterans Treatment Court until about a year, 18 months ago.
Yeah.
Where, you know, we had somebody leaving the office. We'll give props to ADA Jeremy Engel, who went to another office. He served Veterans Treatment Court for 6 years.
Yep.
So he did great work with the VTC, And when he left, I subbed in for him. Although, you know, the ADA that's involved with Veterans Treatment Court, Drug Treatment Court, Sobriety Treatment Court in Buncombe County, they're all generally in contact with me, you know, about who gets in or what the policies are that inform entry into the treatment courts. So, you know, I kind of had my hand on the till, you know, as the director of the office, but didn't get to know the veterans in the way that you ask your question until just in the last 18 months. And so I'm really glad that I stepped up into this role. And I'm seeing, again, kind of like Drug Treatment Court, my experience in Drug Treatment Court, I'm seeing the program change people's lives. And there are people that sometimes I you know, in screening, I'm looking at rap sheets, I'm looking at, you know, case files, and I'm like, man, this is a marginal one. This is one that might be some community risk. We're always considering the risk of the community, right? We're always considering public safety. We can't have a treatment court if we're going to forfeit public safety. It will lose public confidence, right? And so some have gotten in, and I've, you know, I've been, let's give them a chance. And it's fabulous to see not only just those, but all of them, you know, really come under your wing, follow along with their program, and do well. The screening process is designed to ensure public safety, and that's what the DA's office priority is on the front end.
On the front end.
Yeah.
So that's the legal screening. And I appreciate you bringing this up. So we haven't talked in the podcast series yet about this, but part of really the efforts of All Rise before that NADCP coming in, they looked at, hey, what's our streamlining process for getting a veteran in the court? And they said, you need to remove this subjective dialogue where everyone's at the table. We were doing it in 2015, kind of everyone's giving their input. They say, no, give it first to the district attorney. District attorney then says yay or nay based on district attorney's determined criteria. You then send it to me where their risk and need is identified. We use the risk and need triage. Those two steps, boom, sent to the team, let them know this is the decision. So my question, they enter the court. You're not done with them, though. You're not saying, all right, best of luck, because you're still involved in the staffing process, everything along their journey for 2 years, still part of their treatment check-ins. So it doesn't end after they plead in.
Before I get to that, though, I would like to back up and sort of emphasize that Veterans Treatment Court should be run as a real court. And that means we have a transcriptionist, we have a clerk in the courtroom, we have all the pieces that we need to handle each case just like we would in any other court. This is not a courtroom that is designed to evade accountability. It's designed to ensure enhanced accountability. This is probation squared, if not cubed, right? Because these folks have to come to court repeatedly. You get placed on probation, you might come back to court for a review once, if ever, right? Whereas the treatment court folks are coming back bi-weekly, and they're in contact with you, and they have...
Twice a week, I'm seeing.
There you go. Yeah. They have... I mean, this is beyond intensive supervision. This is hand-holding, you know? This is really personal. And so that's what I think you're getting to, is that, you know, as the DA in the courtroom, you know, we have staffing, you know, every other week. We had sometimes have a check-in. We had one today, right, on cases to see how folks are going so that these folks are, again, beyond intensively monitored to ensure that they're doing well and they're in the right placement. They're not having contact with people that lead to relapse, yada, yada, yada.
And so that intensive probationary oversight coupled with the treatment, those are the active ingredients of change.
Right.
Right. This is, I talk about this often with, we have social work interns and they'll come from school. And I know this because I was in grad school at Western for social work and now pursuing my doctorate in social work at University of Tennessee. And the onus is really self-determination, empowering self-determination. For client change, that's the lens that a social worker sees. But what I love about a treatment court is this balance between self-determination and truly it's control, right? There are consequences for self-determination. So for every behavior, we are rewarding it, celebrating it, and amplifying it, or giving a sanction and a therapeutic adjustment, a way to problem solve and move forward differently.
Absolutely.
I love that. So it's interesting with the intern sometimes, like, whoa, hey, you guys, you know, had to respond in a strong manner. I thought this treatment court is all about hugs and high fives.
Right.
You know, just from the years of doing this, you see, oh, wait, these are the ingredients of change. So non sequitur here, talk to us a little bit about just your favorite things of the Veterans Treatment Court. What do you love most about it?
Well, my favorite thing is when you see someone really embrace the program. And I mean, I'm thinking of a certain veteran who came into court and you know, this veteran had some hairy periods, you know, potential self-harm and great risk and whatnot. And the veteran said, you know, as the veteran got on the recovery path, it's like getting to know a whole new person or getting to know myself again, you know. And when that was spoken in court, it was really powerful, you know. And it's also nice when veterans are first coming in. You know, I think it's always a moment of hope, you know. And you know, it's unclear as to whether or not they're going to adopt the program or be successful or not. But generally, everybody comes in with a certain amount of hope to succeed, right? All participants do. So they've sort of cleared the bar and they're in. So, I mean, I don't know if that's the answer you're looking for, but those are the things that I think of.
Well, thank you, Todd. That's definitely what I see as well as highlights of the VTC. And thank you again for being here, Todd. We're grateful for the Veterans Treatment Court, grateful for the lives that have been healed, transformed, and changed. So thank you, and hope to have you back on the podcast.
Well, I want to thank you again for having me on the podcast, and thank you for being our Veterans Treatment Court coordinator.
Hey, I appreciate it.
You're doing a great job.
Honored, truly. And a big thanks to all our listeners. Stay tuned next week where we continue our conversation and hear more about the Voices of Recovery. This is the VTC Podcast, signing off.